There's a smart new website that will change the way you invest using social media.
Likefolio.
Here to explain, a team of brothers, Andy and Landon Swan, of Likefolio.
And they've always been building out great technology at the intersection of social and trading.
Powered by unique social data. Analyzed by legendary traders. The Likefolio broadcast starts right now.
All right, we are live from the Wind Zone. Nick is fooling with everything. We got Switcher Studio running in here. We're trying to go live and on YouTube. This is one of our first ones that we're doing. So hopefully this goes well. We've also got this. Nick, tell us what this robotic arm is. That's so cool.
This is the DJI Osmo 2, Osmo Mobile 2. And basically, I'll just show you what it can do. So here we're on Landon, right?
Yep.
And then if we switch it over, oops. All right, so we got Landon up on the screen. And if we swipe it over, now I'm on the screen.
That is so cool.
And we swipe it back to Landon, and we can go all the way over to you.
Yeah. Are you showing them the
pan and
camera?
Tilt.
Show them the far camera so they can see this thing moving. Show them that.
Yeah, we can show them both at the same time.
Now everyone's going to be dizzy before we even get started.
Exactly.
It's pretty cool.
Including
though.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
Including me. I'm a little dizzy now. All right, so if you look at that device, it's going to be... Oh, it's not going to let me pan and tilt with the split screen up on.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately.
Oh,
but
cool.
Trust us, it's really cool looking. But
yeah, so this thing is controlled remotely. That's so neat.
Yeah.
It's freaky to watch it go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just don't need so much. I mean, the equipment that you can get now for hundreds of bucks to set up a halfway proper studio is super cool. So we're excited about it. Nick's done a great job of setting everything up for us. We're more excited about a report that we're putting out this afternoon on Facebook and the fallout that Facebook is facing from its Cambridge Analytica supposed data breach. Been a big deal.
What a disaster.
It's been a big deal. It's been in the news. It's been a headline grabber for almost a week now. It has been over a week.
Down how much?
Yeah, the stock's down 20%, I think, from highs.
Sitting at 150 right now.
Sitting at 150.
From 180-ish?
Yeah, from I think it was 180s.
That hurts.
Yeah, that hurts a lot. But the cool thing that we can do it like Folio is we can say, hey, look, is this real? Are people, you know, because there's a lot of hashtag type of stuff. There's a lot of amplification of media links that goes into making something sometimes either seem bigger than it is or, you know, the movement is real. Like we found out with Snapchat. With Snapchat, we put out a report a few weeks ago or a month ago that said, look, this user interface is causing massive problems and it's going to continue causing massive problems based on what we saw in social data. And that stock is down from near $20 to, what's it at now, Nick? Is it in the 16s? It's had a nice drawdown.
Yeah, Snapchat, last I checked, was 15 or 16. It's currently at $15.85.
Yeah, so we've got a few points of goodness out of that, either avoiding losses or if you shorted it, you're looking good. So we wanted to do the same kind of inspection into Facebook. And the first chart that we'll put up here on the podcast, kind of a preview, is indications that people are quitting Facebook. And this one's really cool. We've got it going back, 4 years. And you can see the spike on the right. That is number of people talking about quitting Facebook in a way that we think is real. So not just parroting a media headline or a hashtag. And that is double the level that we've ever seen before. There's a constant chatter about quitting Facebook just because it's such a large company. But we do see these spikes, and this is by far the biggest one we've ever seen.
Yeah, it's 2x what we've ever seen, but it's, what, maybe 8 or 10x normal?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the really important
stat. Yeah, it's a big movement. That's not as big as what Snapchat saw, but we'll get into that in the actual report. So what also kind of came to mind...
our next president,
Mr. Zuckerberg, he gets a lot of hate. A lot of people don't like him. I think it's kind of goes with the territory of being a billionaire, but and also having major control over lots of millions of people's data. But Zuckerberg hate is also at an all-time high. Although what I really found interesting about this graph is the amount that Zuckerberg has been discussed in a negative way, how much that's grown since 2016. Mm-hmm. And 2017, it's kind of like a building wave. And then this Cambridge Analytica thing came along, right, and then boom. I mean,
floodgates.
Yeah, they opened the floodgates. I wonder how much of that was political, because he kind of got a little bit politically active,
right,
in 2016 and 2017. And was like touring the country and like going, acting like a human at farms and stuff like that, and going to churches with people.
Yeah, it was really awkward. I remember that. It was, yeah, it felt so forced.
Like he went on his like photo tour, which, why would Mark Zuckerberg go to Iowa and stand in a church and sit on a tractor? Like,
very random. Very random.
Yeah.
And did you see, I saw an article about how he intentionally places himself in photos closer to the camera so that he appears taller than he is.
Oh, really?
And he makes sure that if he's with people who are taller than him, he does that so that he's a little bit taller in the pictures. It's pretty crazy, because I think he's only like 5'8".
Damn, if I get a picture with him, he's going to have to stand on the other side of the room.
Oh, man, he's going to hate that.
He's going to be like, Andy, one more step back. No, if you could just take two more steps back.
That would be great.
That would be fantastic. Great, perfect. This one more step.
You might have to stand on the stool and you guys cut out the bottoms, you know, yeah, waist up only.
That's so funny.
Look that up. It's pretty interesting, because they show the pictures from different angles. And you're like, whoa, they look like they're close in the published picture. But then when you look at it from a different angle, they're really far away.
Wow. Yeah. That's really cool. So we also wanted to look at this next chart. I thought was super cool. Probably one of the coolest ones we've ever done. Just kind of showing the way news cycles work. So we had the Cambridge Analytica scandal hit. And then as it fades off, the Stormy Daniels scandal,
right,
comes right into its place and actually gets more. It's almost like, you know, you can see from this chart in blue is people talking about Cambridge Analytica. In orange is people talking about Stormy Daniels. And, yeah, it's just it's a really cool chart. She's getting more attention than Cambridge Analytica. And also, you know, I just really love looking at the way these news cycles of scandals just kind of flow into each other.
Yeah, right. I mean, she's getting 7 to 8 times more attention.
Yeah, right now.
Now, yeah. She basically took over. It's kind of like a zero-sum game as far as attention.
Yeah.
Attention span. Like, what are people looking at?
Well, you know why. I mean, it has to be the 60 Minutes piece.
Oh, yeah.
That's,
yeah.
I mean, it was a full 60 Minutes specifically on Stormy Daniels.
Right.
Yeah, and we can get it. We probably just shouldn't even get into that topic, but
it's interesting data nonetheless.
It's interesting data to see how, you know, the media can hop from one scandal to the next. Mm-hmm. And I would think that if I were, you know, a politician or Cambridge Analytica or even Stormy Daniels, I would want to see this kind of data to see the staying power of my story and where I am in the likely hype cycle of a story. And it's cool to just visualize this from the Twitter data that we have access to.
So you think Mark Zuckerberg is pushing the Stormy angle so that all the attention goes off? He knows this.
Guaranteed.
You know, we put this report out.
That was my first thought when I saw this data this morning. I was like, I wonder if the powers that be are pushing this Stormy Daniels agenda. And, you know, getting her on 60 Minutes, the timing is just, you know, maybe a little fishy, maybe.
Yeah.
You always have to wonder when powerhouses like those guys.
You got to think that the best political managers have, like, a scandal as backup. You know, when something hits their person, they're like, oh, but wait, hold on. We got a porn star or something. Here we go.
Right.
Everybody shift attention.
Right. I would absolutely believe that. And then, like you're saying, the ability of Mark Zuckerberg to actually drive the conversation
right,
and the narrative through the Facebook algorithm.
He's like, let me just take the Cambridge Analytica dial, turn it down a little bit. What do we got over here? Trump, Stormy Daniels, turn that up.
Yeah, why not? But anyway, if you want to get the full report, we just glossed over the high-level details. You might be surprised by what you find in the full report, but if you want to get the full report, just go to likefolio.com, and it's available right there on the big blue button right there on the homepage. Click on that, download it, and let us know what you think, because I think it's very interesting data, very very similar to what we saw with Snapchat in terms of the way that we were able to dig into what was actually going on. The conclusion may or may not be different. You're going to have to see what you think from the report itself. But again, on the Likefolio homepage, we'll tweet it out to later today. But there's the report is free.
Yeah, definitely get that, because like you said, we just glossed over a lot of it.
And yeah.
It's deeper and more interesting.
Well, this is more made for TV. This is more Stormy Daniels style. You know, we're not Cambridge Analytica. And I do want to make sure that we are 100% clear just during the scandal. I tweeted it out, but Likefolio does not analyze or collect data from Facebook. Our data comes exclusively from Twitter, and we think that's good because people on Twitter know that they're publishing publicly.
Right. How many times have you answered that question?
A million.
And the answer is always surrounding privacy.
Yeah.
And I wish that we could, like, at the time of answering that question, just fast forward and be like, see?
Yeah.
See? This is what you don't want.
Yeah. I only want to analyze data of that people know that they're publishing publicly.
Right.
I don't really want to analyze people's private thoughts or things that they're truly only trying to share with friends. And, you know, it works. What we do works, so why change it? Nick, what the heck's going on with the stock market? We've got up 600 points one day, then we thought we were up again, and then down 300 points the next, and I think today we're flat. It's kind of a frustrating environment for traders. So should it be frustrating?
Well,
or it's opportunistic, but should it all, it's also a little bit frustrating.
I would like to show what I think is an interesting chart, just to kind of take a look at the overall market before we get into the conversation of, you know, the last few days. So I'm going to put up on the screen here. This is a 2-year chart of the S&P 500 SPY. So we've got two different uptrends on this screen. The first uptrend is, you know, starts basically the full 2 years ago. We've got, you know, we're kissing all of the most extreme moves. So the bottom of this uptrend support is touching all of the most extreme moves. Not, you know, it's not taking out those big spikes that you can sometimes cut out of the equation when you're drawing these trend lines.
Yep.
Because there are 1 or 2 day moves, you know?
Yep.
When you factor that uptrend into play, we're currently sitting directly on uptrend support. So the down, you know, the extreme down move that we saw late January into early February, that took us down to some lows in like the 250 range on SPY, kissed that uptrend support perfectly, bounced right off of it, popped back up, and right now we're back, you know, touching that uptrend support again. There's another uptrend support that is a little bit more valid in my opinion, because it has, you know, several, it's undeniable. You know, it has several touches. So it's this one right here that I'm highlighting. And we've got tons of instances over the past 18 months of this uptrend support being effective and, you know, genuinely showing support. That was fully broken. So that's above this first uptrend support I was telling you about. That was fully broken on that first move late January, early February, and fully broken again in the last few days. So when you zoom in to more of like a 10-day period here,
yeah,
then you see a little bit, you can see this uptrend support, the secondary one that has a little more validity to it, has been breached and has been retested from a resistance perspective and proved to be resistant. But that first uptrend support is still well into play. So right here, we're kind of in this range in between those two uptrends. One of them still acting as support. The very first one that takes into, you know, account all the extreme moves is still in play
and
has not been breached. The other one that is a little bit more valid has definitely been breached and has proven to be uptrend support turn resistance at this point.
Oh, all right.
So, you know, we've got a lot of interesting potential. You know, this might be a little bit of a intraday range that you can trade.
All right, cool.
So you can buy, essentially buy SPY when we get down to the support level.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, you know, take profits on your long or short when we get up to that uptrend support turn resistance. Or you can play volatility when, you know, sell volatility when it gets down to that uptrend support.
Yep.
And then, you know, buy volatility when it gets back up to the top there.
What's the VIX at right now? You know?
The VIX
is that on the screen right now?
I can pop it up real quick, easy. The VIX is currently right here at 23. And
okay.
If we zoom out a little bit to a 1 year chart, you can see, I mean, we've got a pretty nice little range here between 25 and 15, and it's at the top end of that 25-15 range right now.
Cool. Well, I'm looking at Amazon getting crushed today, too, and thinking about selling some puts underneath of that. I've always kind of kicked myself for not getting into Amazon on every single dip for the last 20-something years. So
the interesting
today
thing
seems
with
like
Amazon
kind
here,
of a day.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing here with this gap down, it's already recovered a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, from intraday lows, but our implied volatility levels are the percentile is 100, so it's at the very top end of its 52-week range. Oh, nice. In implied volatility. So if you're considering selling a long position, then selling puts is the only way to go.
Selling puts underneath.
Same with Facebook. If you want to position bullish, if you think that we're through, let me pull Facebook up here. If you think we're through the Facebook thing, then you know if you want to risk that, then you know, selling premium here is a good call.
Yeah.
Or you could just sell a strangle, you know, because we have such huge implied volatility levels here in Facebook. You could just sell puts and calls and hope that it stays within a range.
There's a lot. And Tesla's in that group. It's moving big today. I think that there's a lot that you can do on with the volatility as it is. It's just, it can be painful for traders that weren't anticipating that level of volatility. And it can whipsaw you in and out of positions really quickly. So we're going to keep our eye out for opportunities, and LifeFolio members will be the first to hear about those. But, you know, for me, I'm looking at Amazon. I'm looking at trading Facebook on the report that we put out. I'm looking at trading maybe Tesla. I'm not sure about Tesla. Tesla is just so weird because I don't feel like I have an edge there. How do I know how many cars they're actually producing? I know that demand's through the roof, but I don't know how many cars they're actually producing and able to sell. And it seems like the Simpsons monorail scene over and over with Elon Musk. Maybe the Model 3 might be more of a Landon idea.
Yeah, I think the main takeaway here is there's a lot of really good opportunities in this marketplace right now. Whereas we hadn't seen tons of opportunities in the past, there's a lot of good opportunities in names like Tesla, Facebook, Amazon, where they have highly liquid options, and we have extremely high levels of implied volatility built into these stocks and their options, rather. So selling premium in these highly liquid, you know, very popular names, great opportunity right now.
Cool.
All right, let's pivot. We got one more week of college basketball.
Reverse pivot.
Yeah, reverse pivot. Double pivot, sometimes they get away with, I think, now.
That was your move. You would go out and ball fake and then go in, keeping the same pivot foot. You got called for travel every once in a while. It was a bad call when they did.
It was good. I was just fooling even the zebras.
That was like an 80s one patented move.
Yeah, you got to pay the price for being an innovator.
Hey, gotta do it.
But they're playing Saturday. So what is it? Villanova, Kansas plays Saturday.
Everybody plays Saturday.
Oh yeah.
And then the winners play Monday.
Okay. So Villanova against Kansas is the first matchup.
Yep.
And then Michigan against Loyola. And so we've got the Nick, if you could put the
it's up.
Cool, the odds up on these.
I like that.
You've got Villanova is a heavy favorite. What, even money to win the whole championship with four teams in there. Michigan is priced pretty much where you would think.
Yeah, so I worked out these percents.
Oh, yeah.
Villanova's basically 48%. Michigan's right around 26%. Kansas, 21%. And Loyola, 5%. That's approximate based on Vegas odds there.
Okay. So let's go around the table and say who we think will win and who we would bet on.
Okay. I like those two different questions.
Yeah, it's two different questions.
It's interesting because, so Villanova plays Kansas, and together they're 69%. So basically, Vegas is saying the winner of that game is the winner of the tournament.
Yeah.
They got no love for Michigan and super no love for Loyola.
Man, so, they've been hating Loyola. I mean, Loyola's been an underdog every game.
They're amazing. I think that they shoot probably 60% of their shots within 2 feet.
Yeah, and the other 40% are right on the three-point line.
Right.
Like, it's a beautiful combo.
If you want a two, we'll get as close as possible for a two. You want a three, get as close as possible for a three.
Exactly.
I love it. Always an extra pass. They're like the Bellarmine of D1. I love it.
Yeah, that's for those of you that haven't kept up with the Swans, that's where we played Bellarmine. And now they are a fantastic Division II championship contender all the time and one of the funnest teams, most fun teams to watch you will ever see, because the passing and discipline is so different than these most of these schools that you're watching now, this college basketball. It's like NBA light. I think it's really a lot of times boring to watch. They just run like a shell where like four guys or three guys are standing around the three-point line, and then you run a big man up and ball screen every single time. And there's no cutting. There's no screening. That's why it's so refreshing to watch Loyola. Mm-hmm. Like, they are actually cutting, screening off the ball, moving without the ball, backdoor cuts.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not just NBA.
School fundamental stuff.
All right, so let's get back to the original question. We want to wrap this up, and I know everybody's dying to hear our NCAA tournament prognosis. So, should we start? Nick, you want to start?
Yeah, I'll start. All right. You know, I'm the least knowledge when it comes to NCAA basketball. So I think I have to be a probability guy because that's the way I trade.
Mm-hmm.
Villanova, the boring pick. I really would like to see Kansas win, though, because that's the only team I have left in our office pool.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to get those two wins. I need the Kansas win and I on the Final Four, and I need them to win it all in order for me to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's the only possible way.
Right.
So, you know, selfish reasons, I'd like to see them get the W.
But, okay.
But so, I think that Villanova's got it all.
So, it sounds like Villanova's your pick, but also you've kind of already bet on Kansas.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Got it. Landon, what's your...
Well, for who's going to win, I think Villanova stands out because they handle their opponents. Like, all the other teams have had some squeak-by wins,
yep.
Whereas Villanova's smallest win was 12 points. So they're handling everybody really well. In fact, before the last game, Loyola, I think they won their first three games by a total of 4 points.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. Absolutely nuts.
They know how to win.
Yeah. Michigan got by with a buzzer beater, which still hurts because I had some financial interest on that one. And they had a 4-point win as well. So they've been squeaking by as well. So Villanova, I think, is the one that's going to win. If I had to bet, I think that, you know, Kansas at 3.5, 4-1, I think that's pretty good odds. Because if they can get past Villanova, I think they're a 5-point dog, then I believe they'll be favored in the next game. So it's, you're kind of like,
yeah,
you got to get past one. So if I had to put money, I'd put money on Kansas at around 4-1.
Nice.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to
slide over to Andy.
So I have to agree, just watching Villanova, I'm not sure that they're beatable. Just fantastic. And that big guy, I can't remember his name, but he gets on streaks where he just dominates the game, even in full court. And so that's fun to watch. I think they're going to be very tough to beat. But in terms of a bet, I would have to go with Loyola.
It's the more fun bet.
Yeah, and I think at, you know, 11 or 12 to 1, you know, it's one of four teams that earned its way there.
Right.
And I remember when this is...
That's a good point.
That's a great point.
A way back when Indiana snuck their way into the Final Four, it was...
against Duke on that buzzer beater?
Yeah, it was Coach Davis's first season. And they streaked all the way to the championship game. But anyway, I remember I was in Las Vegas when they when the Final Four was going on. And before the Final Four, Indiana was an 8-1 shot. And I read this little piece by a professional handicapper that just kind of illuminated for me. And it was just like, you know, when it comes to the Final Four, a lot of people like to just dump money on the favorite. Mm-hmm. But you have to respect any team that got here. And when there's only four left and you can get 8-1 or better, in other words,
right,
double the number of actual teams remaining, then you kind of got to take it, right?
That's a good point.
Because it's not like horse racing where a horse is 8-1 because it doesn't win this caliber of races. Like, these teams have all won these caliber of games to get here.
Right. They've all won four in a row.
Yeah, they've all won four in a row against good opponents, mm-hmm. and against increasingly good and increasingly streaky opponents. So anyway, I think at 11-12-1, the value up for Loyola is there. I might actually just bet on both Villanova and Loyola, and see what happens.
Insurance.
Yeah, a little insurance play, but
I like
anyway, that's kind of my pick. That's certainly what I hope. That's where my heart's going to be anyway.
Oh, of course.
Just wanting I would love to see Loyola pull this off. And if even just getting into the final game would make Monday night a lot more exciting than a Villanova Michigan matchup for me.
I agree. And another thing is this is one game. You know, this is not the NBA.
Right.
Where if this was a best of seven series, Villanova would be a 90-95%. It would be ridiculous odds.
Yeah.
Loyola wouldn't be here probably.
No, it'd be
Michigan might not be here.
It might be Virginia.
Right.
And Villanova and Duke.
Exactly.
And
it'd be the ones you would expect. But these, you know, 40 minutes, anything can happen. And it goes, it's unbelievable if you watch these games how little of a play can make a huge difference. And there's two or three of those in the game. If all of them go the way of Loyola, they can win.
Yeah. And they're going to have anyone that's not a Michigan fan in that building is going to be rooting for a Loyola.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course.
So all the Kansas fans, all the Villanova fans,
yep,
and all the Loyola fans are all going to be cheering for Loyola. That's the only game where it's going to be like that.
Yeah, that's a psychological momentum.
Yeah,
I'm changing my answer. I'm putting 75% of my money on Kansas, 25% on Loyola.
I think the important thing to do here is ask the camera what it thinks.
Okay.
So is Andy right?
Oh, God.
It doesn't like Andy.
Oh,
is Landon right? Nope, that's Landon's awful. Not right. Is Nick right? Oh, Nick's right.
Wow.
Obviously, our artificial intelligence capabilities have a little ways to go. But
number five is alive.
I couldn't resist.
This is fantastic. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Make sure you're following Likefolio on Twitter and on YouTube. Subscribe so you get alerted. We're going to try to go Wednesdays at noon. Sometimes actually running a business gets in the way. But
now and then.
We're going to try to go Wednesdays at noon live. And then make sure you're following Likefolio on Twitter. And also get that Facebook report. It's really cool. You're going to want to dive into that and see how we work. If you have any questions, just reply to it. It'll come to me. Just go to likefolio.com and click on that big blue button in the middle of the page, and we will be ready to rock. So good work today. Thanks, Nick, for putting this together. And we'll catch you all next week.